My dear brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, it is always good to be here to reconnect with each other and especially to reconnect with our Lord Jesus Christ, because that is why we are here, to remember what he has done and what he is doing and what we pray he will soon do in the future. A week or so ago, I received a little text from someone who doesn't normally send a text through, and it's a family member of mine, and I simply wrote, "Thinking of you today, seeing 25 years ago you were baptised into Jesus' saving name." Now, it was a nice thing to send, and initially I thought, oh, that's very nice. But then it made me reflect, I guess, on the last 25 years or so. The first thought that came to my mind was, I really don't care what year or what day it was that I was baptised. That became very obvious to me that it's irrelevant, really. The most important thing is that I did actually connect at that day with Jesus, and I was baptised. That was the first thing that came to my mind. Then I also realised that it's a process. While being baptised is a milestone, because as we know from that verse, "He that believeth and is baptised shall be saved," yes, it is a milestone, but it is a process that we all go through throughout our entire life. As we learn as a child about Jesus, and as we go through all our life to the very end, when we are finally humbled and we submit our life into the hands of our Heavenly Father, it's a process. And it is a gift, because without the process of connecting ourselves to Jesus, we would live this life and it would be without hope. Yet today in our readings from Matthew 11, we've had some really encouraging words. That even though in this life we are burdened, we face troubles of so many different kinds, whether it be with our health, with our family, with issues of all kind, at all levels, whether it be personal issues or family issues or ecclesial issues or social issues or national issues or global issues. With all these things bearing on us, Jesus is there to take the bulk of that load off our shoulders. And that's why he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And so how good is it, brothers and sisters, for us to come here away from our normal routine where we do get burdened down, don't we? And we can come to Jesus and we can find a place of refuge, a place of rest. And what does he say? "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Now, it's probably, I would say, my generation down probably have never seen a yoke in action, except on maybe a motor car connecting two shafts together, or maybe the balance of a set of scales that has a yoke. But the yoke referred to here is the instrument that was placed on two animals, or maybe sets of two or more animals, to keep them walking in a straight line. And I'm sure you've all seen pictures in encyclopedias, and maybe if you went to an old-fashioned farm, you would have seen it. And this is what Jesus saw, and this is what he turned people's attention to, and he said, "Be connected to me, because I can help you along the way. For I am meek, says Jesus, and that word means gentle or humble, and lowly in heart. And of course, we know what Jesus did in his life. He didn't place himself above everyone else. He laid down his life for his friends, and he humbled himself greatly in the sight of everyone. And he says, "Ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So when I received that text, I thought, what have I actually done with all those years? Have I been up to the task of bearing the burden of upholding my part of the bargain? There is a similar verse in Luke 9, verse 23. I'm sure you know this one. It says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." And I got to think, what is it day by day that I actually do? That I actually achieve in my life being connected to Jesus? At the moment in this world, I'll tell you what it feels like I do day by day. It feels like day by day I'm having to deal with a mountain of rubbish. Every week we have to process the rubbish that we generate, the things that we collect along the way, don't we? I'm sure in your region, in the Bay of Plenty, you have Recycling Day or Rubbish Day, and it's really important, isn't it, that you get to put that bag out or the bin out. And I'm sure there's always a conversation in your house that says, "Oh, what night is it? Quick, better get that bag out." Or maybe sometimes in the morning you actually hear the truck coming and you make that mad dash to get rid of that rubbish because you don't want it hanging around. There's also nothing more depressing than after you've gone to the effort of putting the rubbish out, to say recollect the bin that you put the recycling into, and then you take it back to your house and you just have a bit of a check in the lid and you look inside and half of it's still there. The bin hasn't been emptied. You're still got with you the rubbish that you wanted to leave behind. And our lives in this world and our lives in trying to be connected to Jesus is a bit like that. We weigh ourselves down with so much rubbish and it just seems like it just keeps on coming. So if I was I spend a third of my life asleep, it feels like I spend a third of my life working. And a fair chunk of it is just dealing with the rubbish. And when you think on a physical sense where the world is now, it is drowning in rubbish, physically. And then if you think about the world mentally, it is also drowning in a load of rubbish. The ambitions, the direction in which this world is heading, it's going nowhere good. I often think about Jesus, how he connected with his disciples that lived in his day, and how he encouraged them to deal with the issues that they faced in their day. And we are encouraged to learn of Jesus about how he dealt with the issues that he faced. Because if we think that we have a lot of rubbish to deal with, Jesus had the same load of rubbish to deal with in his life. Remember, he grew up as a child. He would have had siblings that hassled him. He had family members that didn't believe in him and criticized him for the things that he was doing. He had many opponents. He had people that were more intent on trying to have him killed than actually stopping and listening and watching the miracles that he performed. In our readings this week from Matthew, we'll even read about times when his disciples were off on the wrong track. They also were just talking rubbish. They were talking about who was going to be the greatest in the coming kingdom. And Jesus had to correct them and said, it's not about that at all. Time and time again, Jesus had to deal with people around him in a way that sorted out the rubbish. And he was able to point out time and time again what God's will is on this matter or that matter. That's the same with us in our lives. We need to go through the same process. We are so thankful, brothers and sisters, that Jesus did sort through the trials and the issues that he faced in his life, to the point that he was obedient unto death. And so his Creator and our Creator was able to raise him from the grave and give him eternal life. In John 16, verse 33, we have a short, good verse, some words of Jesus. He said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation." Yes, we're going to be burdened. "But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And how good is that, brothers and sisters, that Jesus has overcome and provides us with hope that we too can overcome, no matter what comes our way. When we are baptised, we are often we often open up our Bibles at Romans chapter 6. And that begins by asking a question. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And this is the other thing I thought about when we think about being yoked together with Jesus. Do we just rely on Jesus pulling the entire load? Just because in the end we'll get where we're going and we'll receive that reward. And the answer is, by no means is that the case. We all have our part to play, and like Christ, we should be aiming high in our lives. Let's not get bogged down with the cares or the burdens that are going to slow us down and make us look somewhere else. In Colossians 3 we read, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." And so we should be walking in newness of life, with enthusiasm, with joy, with an inner peace of great hope that is set before us. And this is what being yoked with Jesus does for us. Because what does a yoke do? It keeps us in general going in the same direction as our Lord Jesus. In Romans 6 verses 4 to 5 we read, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ are baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so should we walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." It is good for us to be connected to Jesus. Because I think if we were left to plough that field on our own, we would just totally go off course. And how often do we find ourselves not really focused on where we're going? In Hebrews 12, verse 2, there's a real good verse that's relevant to what we're talking about today. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And that's learning about Jesus, about how he dealt with the issues that he faced, who for the joy that was set before him endured, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of God. Jesus never lowered his aim in his life. He never lost his sense of inner peace. Even when he was being tormented and afflicted with extreme suffering on the cross, when he was being ridiculed by those who should have known better, and when we think about what Jesus went through and achieved, it makes our burden appear light, doesn't it, brothers and sisters? For consider him, as it goes on in Hebrews 12, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. God has told each and every one of us that we will not be tempted or burdened beyond what we can bear. And if we truly believe this, those words can provide us with great comfort, knowing that whatever comes our way, whatever rubbish we need to sort through, it can be done. No chastening for the present seems to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. And that's what we're striving for, isn't it, brothers and sisters? To, in some way, produce some fruit for our Heavenly Father and for our Master, our Lord Jesus. And so it is good for us to be here, to reconnect with Jesus, to remind ourselves as to why we have been baptized in the first place. Just remember the feelings that you had before you made that wonderful decision to be baptized, when you would have realized that this world is not going anywhere fast, and that there is a peace and a hope of salvation to win. We started afresh when we were baptized, and now as we partake of these emblems, it is yet another opportunity for a fresh start, to be at peace with our Heavenly Father, and to renew our enthusiasm, to keep going until that day that Jesus does return. And each time we remember our Lord Jesus, in some ways we should rejoice, because that promising future of a world that will no longer be littered with the rubbish is drawing nigh. Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And soon we pray, through the grace of our Heavenly Father, that we'll be granted that ultimate gift of peace, eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. But until then, brothers and sisters, may we think on that verse out of Anthem 19 that's often sung on the occasion of a baptism. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May he make his face to shine upon thee and give thee peace.